Good morning again. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We're continuing studying some Psalms. We're going to do Psalm 24 today as we continue on our theme of just understanding Christ through the Psalms. Psalm 24, let me read it for us. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hearts and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol, or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God the Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Then there's this little word called Selah. Selah means just think about that, pause. Allow that thought to sink in. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, O you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? He is the Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. One of those wonderful psalms. As David had reflected in the previous Psalm 23 on about Jesus being his shepherd, this psalm is placed here specifically to remind us, friends, to have a hunger for that shepherd. You know, I don't know if you, when you go out to eat, sometimes when you go to visit people, they just give you a small portion of food, don't they? We kind of say, I often say to people, oh, it's just like a sample today. You know, where's the real food? As you can see, I've got a healthy appetite. And sometimes, friends, we kind of treat God like that a little bit. We don't mind sampling on God a little bit from time to time. But what David is really trying to encourage us in this psalm, and we'll get to it a little bit later, is asking the question, are you truly hungry for God? He begins this, let me just tell you about the historical context of the psalm. This psalm was written to celebrate the occasion when the Ark of the Covenant was taken into Jerusalem for the first time. You'll remember that the Philistines had stolen the Ark, and David had gone to redeem the Ark from the Philistines, and on his way of bringing that Ark back to Jerusalem, the ark started slipping, and the priest reached out to touch the ark, and he was killed. And so they decided, let's just leave the ark at the home of Obed-Edom. The story is found in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1 through 15. But on some later occasion, David saw that the very presence of the ark at the house of Obed-Edom resulted in a tremendous blessing from God. Obed-Edom's household increased, his crops increased, everything went well with him. And David wanted that blessing to come to Jerusalem where he was. And so in 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel chapter 6, he goes and fetches the ark from the house of Obed-Edom. And you'll remember that as he brings it into Jerusalem, there is that occasion where he dances naked before the Lord. And his wife laughs at him and says to him it was disgusting as to what he was doing. That's the occasion of this particular psalm. So let's think about this psalm. As we think about, are we really hungry for God? David, first of all, reminds us that we belong to God. Whether you like it or not, friends, you belong to Him. The opening two verses tells us that very clearly. The earth is the Lord and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. The point David is making, friends, is that whether you are hungry for God, it doesn't really matter. You belong to Him. And you belong to Him, friends, because Jesus is the author of creation. Let me remind you, in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the word says, it says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, in verse 3, sorry. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. Friends, we belong to Jesus because He created all things. Not only we belong to Jesus because He created all things, we belong to Jesus because through His resurrection, He has been given all things, again, being reminded that all things belong to Him. In Matthew 28, in the famous passage we know as the Great Commission, Jesus says this, Jesus came to them and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So friends, whether you think you belong to God or not, Jesus, friends, has the authority over your life. But He doesn't only have your authority over your life because He created you or He redeemed you. Friends, you belong to Him because He is in heaven at the moment. And His position in heaven, friends, reminds us that He is above all things. Listen to Revelation chapter 4. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have Your being. David, friends, reminds us that we belong to God. But now the question of the psalm, the overriding message of the psalm is the question, does God belong to you? See, that's the question of the psalm. We belong to Him, but does He belong to us? And so David asks this question, friends, who can ascend the hill of God? Who can stand in His holy place? And he's asking you the question, the scriptures are asking you the question today, friends, while you belong to Him, The scriptures are asking you, does he belong to you? Do you really have a deep, deep hunger to know God and to serve God? Well, as he goes through the rest of the psalm, the first thing he does in asking us the question, does God belong to you? He reminds us what he means by the presence of God. What does God's presence mean? And he says it simply by saying, who can go up the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in the holy place? Friend, when David says, who may stand in the holy place, he is reminding us of the essential characteristic of who God is. We know God in many different ways. We know him as our refuge, as our strength. We know him as omnipotent and omniscient. We know him as our savior. We know him as our judge. But friends, there is one characteristic of God that overrides all of those characteristics, and that is the characteristic of holiness. You'll remember the vision Isaiah had when he had the vision of heaven. The first vision he has, friends, is the vision of angels singing. And can you remember what they were singing? Holy, 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 holy. It's not that they're saying holy, holy, holy three times. If you understand the Hebrew there, friends, what they were saying was they were constantly repeating that word, holy, 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 holy. Because, friends, that's who God is. And what do they mean by that word holy? The word holy means, friends, that God is separate. He is totally different from anything or everything you could ever understand. And the question, friends, that David is asking us as he writes the psalm, as the scriptures ask us, friends, are we in the place where we can be in the presence of God? Do we understand what holiness is? You see, being holy doesn't mean occasionally going to God. Being holy, friends, means being separated for the purposes and the use of God, friends. To be totally different from that which is around us. And that's why David says these words, who may ascend the holy hill? Who may be in that holy place? For you see, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant represented for the Jews the very presence of God. When the Ark of the Covenant was put first of all into the tabernacle and then later into the temple and was closed by those curtains, what was that area called? Can you remember? It was called the Holy of Holies. So, friend, the question David asks us today, do you have God? Do you have him in every single way? Do you have him, friends, in such a way that he means everything that is possible to know in who he is? Well, he mentions four different ways in which we need to separate ourselves. He says this, who may enter? Well, first of all, the one who's got clean hands. Friends, he's basically saying, are we practically living as holy as we possibly can? Are our hands clean when we come into the presence of God? You will know that when Jewish people entered into the presence of God, that the first thing they did, friends, there was a big bowl of water right at the entrance of the temple. The first thing they did, friends, was to wash themselves clean. But of course, we don't wash ourselves with water anymore. Now we wash ourselves with the blood of Jesus Christ, friends. Are your hands clean? Well, friends, your hands are clean if you've asked Jesus to wash your sins away. But he doesn't only ask, are your hands clean? He asks, is your heart clean? Spiritual holiness. What's going on in your heart? David asks. Pure religion, friends, is religion of the heart. And then he goes on, friends, to ask us, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or to swear what is false? Friends, he's reminding us that we are to fulfill the two great commandments of the Lord. What are the two great commandments? You know what they are. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And then, friends, to love your neighbor as yourself. So there's the qualification, friends. He reminds us that if God is truly everything to us, friends, our hands and our hearts and our actions in the way that we show our love for him and the way that we show our love for others, friends, will be honest and pure and clean. Because after speaking those words that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all your God, Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and the second one being to love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus says this, all of the law and the prophets are summed up in those two commandments. You don't need to follow all the rules and regulations of the Old Testament. God bless those who try and do that, friends. Do you love God? Is he your everything? That's why I've entitled this message, Hungering for the Presence of God. Friends, how hungry are we for the presence of God? He reminds us, thirdly, friends, not only does he tell us about the standard needed to enter the presence of God, he reminds us that it's only Jesus who can introduce us to God. Because the next part of that verse says, he will receive the blessing from the Lord and the vindication from God our Savior. Friends, there's only one. There is only one that has these words recorded about him. Only Jesus ever heard these words. A voice came from heaven and said, this is my Son, whom I love, in him I am well pleased. That was at the baptism of Jesus. Then at the transfiguration, you hear the same voice of God saying, while he was still speaking, a crowd enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Peter, as he writes his letter in 2 Peter, reminds us of the significance of that it was Jesus, friends, who makes it possible for us to enter into eternity. Peter says this in 2 Peter. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard that voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. You see, friends, Jesus is the one who has received the blessing and the glory and the honor from God, the vindication from God. Jesus is the only one who makes it possible for us to be able to approach the presence of God in our own capacity. So the question, friends, the question I'm asking, you belong to God, but does God belong to you? Does he belong to you, friends? Are you sampling on him, or are you hungry for him? Verse 6 says this, "Such is the generation that seeks of those that seek him, who seek your face, O God our Father." How hungry are you for Jesus? Let me ask you, would you be willing to dance naked to show your honor to Jesus? I'm not asking you to do it. But the principle is this, friend. The principle is very clear. David in the psalm is making it very clear. This is the generation. These are the people that I want to have a relationship with. Those who seek me. Friend, do you belong? Does God belong to you? Who is this God? Well, I don't have time for that this morning. I wish I had another 30 minutes. Because the rest of the psalm, friends, just reminds us who this God is. Let me just read for us what David saw when he saw God. He says this, "Lift up your eyes, O you gates. Be lifted up, O you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is the King of glory? He is the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, the King of glory? He is the Lord Almighty. Who's David talking about? He didn't know who he was talking about. Because, friends, he was prophetically pointing to Jesus. And if you look at the book of Revelation, in chapter 1 and verse 6, and chapter 4 and verse 9, and chapter 4 and verse 11, and chapter 5 and verse 12, and chapter 5 and verse 13, and chapter 7 and verse 12, and chapter 19 and verse 1. As you read those verses, friends, you will discover that the one who is the King of glory is the one who is worthy to open the scroll in heaven. How hungry are you for God? Do you come to church every now and then just to sample a little bit of the presence of God? Just eat a little bit here and a little bit there. You go to this church because they can give you a little bit of that food. You go to this church because they can give you a little bit of this food. And you watch this television station because they can give you a little bit of this food. Friend, you will never be satisfied. You'll never be satisfied until you feed on God Himself. Does God belong to you? Who may ascend this holy hill? Who may be in your presence, Lord? I don't know about you, friends, but I want to say, me, Lord. It's me who wants to be in your presence. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we are able to be reminded today of how important it is to have you at the center of our lives. Give us again that deep passion, that deep desire to worship you, to be with you at all times. Lord, thank you that we know we belong to you. But help us, Lord, to make you belong to us. In Jesus' name we ask that. Amen.